This is UConn Media Roundtable. I'm Sylvia Cunningham. Media Roundtable breaks down things that are happening on campus and what they mean to us. We talk with reporters and editors from WHUS, The Daily Campus, and UCTV to get an in-depth scoop on social issues on campus beyond the confines of a 140-character tweet. Today on the program, we'll be breaking down undergraduate student government elections and marijuana legalization. But first, over the weekend, something remarkable happened. Huskython, an 18-hour dance marathon fundraiser of Connecticut Children's Medical Center, raised over $560,000 this year, surpassing last year's total by over $100,000. WHUS reporter Charlie Smart was there live tweeting and taking photos until the wee hours of the night. Charlie, can you tell us a little bit about Huskython and how things went this weekend?
Well, it was certainly a long night. People were up dancing for 18 hours, and when I say up dancing, I do mean they were standing for the entire 18 hours. You're not allowed to sit down at Huskython. And they did raise $560,000, which is $60,000 over their goal for this year and $100,000 over what they raised last year. But I think the most amazing thing during the night was, Sylvia, I know you spoke to one of the kids there who said that this was the best night of his life. And I think just the fact that these kids who have been sick for a long time are there having fun, surrounded by people who care about them and are there for them, is really what the night is all about.
And Brendan Field is the Associate Life Editor at the Daily Campus. Brendan, can you give us a little more on where the event took place and how participants were able to keep their spirits up?
The evening in question is set up in the field house, the largest indoor space that we have on this campus. It is packed wall to wall. If you just viewed it from the outside, it looked like the happiest rave ever. There's just a lot of bright lights. The floor is packed wall to wall. Everybody is dancing. And even by the end, when people just have no energy left in their knees and want nothing more than to collapse on the ground and fall asleep, they kick in the morale dances, which happen every hour, which are pre-organized song medleys. And they have people called the morale captains, which lead the group and sort of give everybody a second, third, and ultimately 16th wind.
So speaking of high morale, the UConn Chapter of Students for Sensible Drug Policy, or SSDP, has been lobbying the undergraduate student government to pass a statement in support of marijuana legalization in the state of Connecticut. Here's a clip of Tyler Williams, president of SSDP, speaking at USG's caucus last Wednesday.
Both bills, again, set out to legalize, regulate, and tax the sale of marijuana in Connecticut. So as USG has the power to pass statements of position as the official undergraduate student voice of the University of Connecticut, many students here are asking that you folks come out in favor of the efforts to legalize cannabis.
So Macy, you are covering the event for UCTV. Can you break down for us what exactly SSDP was proposing?
Yeah, so Williams was there kind of doing like frequently asked questions for the senators, trying to get USG to support the bills that are in Connecticut legislation right now, trying to support legalization of marijuana in the state. And he spent a good amount of time focusing not only on how legalization of marijuana would offer a huge economic boost for Connecticut, but how it would specifically benefit UConn and the students here. And he spent a lot of time saying how it would impact the police department and how it would give them a lot more time if they didn't have to focus on students smoking pot, then they would then be able to spend all of their time focusing on violent crimes that are happening on campus, specifically sexual assaults.
Now, Sten, you're a reporter for the Daily Campus. What was your take on the climate at USG?
Well, I think USG's reaction will probably be similar to the Connecticut State Legislature's reaction, which is kind of tepid, not sure about legalization. Tyler Williams, the SSDP president, is right when he says the group isn't asking USG to move mountains for legislation, but a statement of support won't be made without dissent. Bennett Cognato, a co-sponsor of the bill in USG, said that he thinks people have general reservations about the legislation and passing a statement in support of it, but that the positives outweigh the negatives, and that he thinks in the end USG will come out to endorse the current House bills legalizing marijuana.
I think that, you know, it's definitely a toss-up right now of whether or not the USG will support this. I think there's a lot of senators that are in favor of it and think that it's something that the USG should be doing, but I think there's also a large contingency of the Senate that thinks that this isn't even an issue that the USG should be focusing on, and that, you know, they have a lot to worry about with the budget and things like that in the future, and they think that, you know, legalizing weed isn't something that is necessarily going to impact the lives of every UConn student. But this isn't something that's necessarily new to the Senate. We've seen similar legislation in the past. Back in 2011, the USG passed a statement of position in favor of the decriminalization of marijuana, which went through with only, I think, one objection and two abstentions. And then later that same year, they passed a second statement of position in favor of having Res Life treat marijuana the same as alcohol and deal with it internally instead of immediately going to the police. And that was a bit more contentious, but also ultimately passed. And so this isn't something new for the USG, but I think that this, you know, it's definitely a big step to taking what's right now federally a Schedule I drug and making it legal for recreational use is obviously a big step. And I think we're definitely going to see a lot of debate about this bill and a lot of questions brought up in the coming Senate.
Yeah, you mentioned that first bill. It passed with only one objection, but it was passed 30-1. And I don't think that USG has shifted so much in the past 4 years that they won't pass this new statement. But legalization is a much different topic from decriminalization. And you also mentioned that you think it's going to be a toss-up. That's actually exactly what USG's Senate Speaker Kevin Alvarez said. He used the words a toss-up, and he doesn't know what the result's going to be.
Yeah, I think the most convincing argument that I've heard from some senators against this bill is that the two Connecticut House bills 6703 and 6473 that this statement of position is officially endorsing aren't necessarily clear yet. They were just recently introduced, and the way the Connecticut legislature works is that these bills are introduced and then they go through committee. So these are right now in the Judiciary Committee, and that's when they're sort of fleshed out and the actual text of the bill and what it would do is written. So right now they're just like one line each of this bill will legalize the sale, consumption, and production of marijuana in Connecticut. And I've heard that, you know, it's just that they don't know yet what exactly the text of these bills are going to be and what the stipulations will be. One of them doesn't even have an age. One of them does have a 21 age limit, but one of them doesn't even say that. And those are things that I'm sure will, you know, if these bills do end up passing through committee, then that's something that'll be fleshed out then. But just since we don't have that right now, that's another issue among senators, is that, you know, they're supporting something that they don't even necessarily know exactly what it's going to be yet.
And it didn't seem like senators were afraid to voice these concerns. And many asked, you know, how can we actually gauge this is what students want? You're saying this is what students want. We are the voice of the students, but how do we know this is what students want? Did you think that Williams adequately answered that question, Charlie?
I think Williams did. He cited a few polls that recently came out that showed that, you know, the majority of people in the United States support the legalization of marijuana, and especially people in the age range that most college students are in overwhelmingly support the legalization of marijuana. He put out a petition that got, I don't have the exact number of signatures in front of me, but that got more signatures than, I know this was a comment that was made during the Senate, it got more signatures than, or almost as many signatures as most people vote during the elections for USG candidates. So essentially what Tyler Williams said was that if this bill was running for a USG Senate seat, it would win. And we've seen similar things in the past, like that bill that I mentioned before about Res Life and marijuana, that a petition went out for that got 799 students signing it in favor of it, and that was back in 2011. And so this is something that we see support for people our age and for people at UConn, and it's goes beyond just people who want to smoke marijuana. It's that, you know, we've seen that people are still using it. And so I think what Tyler's saying is that it would be better to legalize it and then direct the resources that are right now used in preventing it to better things and to get the tax revenue. And it's not just about being able to smoke weed. It goes beyond that.
So let's just throw out some predictions. If this is put to vote in Wednesday's Senate, do you think it will pass?
I honestly could not tell you right now. I've heard voices from both senators saying that it, some in support of it and some not. If I had to make a prediction, I don't think it'll pass on Wednesday, just because of the sorts of questions that I was hearing during the debate were not about, you know, whether people think that marijuana should be legalized. I think, you know, we've seen polls that do say that. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue that a lot of senators have is whether this is even something that Senate should be doing, something that, you know, because it is the undergraduate Senate supporting the legalization of, like I said, what is right now a Schedule I drug. And so I think a lot of people are unsure about whether that's a smart move for the undergraduate Senate, and, you know, whether that is still up for debate. But I don't see it passing.
Macy, do you want to throw your prediction in?
Yeah, I also don't think that it's going to pass. The senator seemed to fight back Williams a lot on what he was saying, and it seemed that they had a lot of concern about what I said earlier about the police department and if that really made any sense, and then also about if this would impact 21-year-olds or 18-year-olds, and the senators were talking a lot about if it was 21 and older, that still wouldn't really help the campus because a majority of the campus is not 21, and so then they would still be dealing with the same problem that they're dealing with for underage drinking.
All right, Sten, let's hear from you.
I think that it is going to pass because it's not a bill. It's just a statement supporting a bill. I think that that'll be easier to pass than legislation itself. And I also think that the fact that some senators are worried that this shouldn't be an issue right now, well, it is an issue, and it's being put forth in the Senate, so they're going to have to decide whether they want to support it or not. And I don't think that they can vote in good conscience not to support it just because they don't think it should be an issue at the time.
I don't think the problem is whether this is an issue in the state of Connecticut. I think the problem is these senators are representing their constituencies, which are students of the University of Connecticut. And I think that a lot of the senators don't believe that this is an issue that directly impacts their constituents, which is the way that they have to vote. And I think even a lot of senators that would vote, you know, just based on their own personal opinions might vote in favor of it, might not, only because, you know, they see this as not something that directly impacts their constituency. And one more thing that I'd like to add is that, just to clarify, that line of the bill that talked about how legalizing marijuana would free up police resources to deal with sexual assault specifically has since been changed in the most recent version of the statement of position that Tyler's presenting. And that he was changed because of the questions that he received during the caucus. So he has responded to those concerns, and he has changed the wording of the bill to be more in line with what the senators would support.
And you can get more specifics on what Charlie's talking about on WHUS.org, Daily Campus, or UCTV. Now, we're going to wrap this segment up, but if you're just joining us, this is UConn Media Roundtable, where we break down what's happening on campus with student reporters. When we get back, we'll be talking about USG elections. And we're back with UConn Media Roundtable, and we have some breaking news. A little past 11 a.m. Monday morning, Speaker of the Senate Kevin Alvarez announced on Facebook he lost the election for undergraduate rep to the Board of Trustees, and Alvarez has confirmed that David Rifkin won. Now we're here with Charlie Smart, a reporter from WHUS Radio, Sten Spinella from the Daily Campus, and Katie McWilliams, the managing editor from the Daily Campus. Reactions. Let's talk about what you think.
I think it was definitely a surprise that Kevin Alvarez didn't win. Clearly, he wasn't assured to win, but David Rifkin didn't even show up to the debate for this position. And, you know, at the debate, it was pretty clear to most people in the audience that Kevin Alvarez seemed to be the stronger candidate. And I just think it's, you know, surprising that he didn't win this election.
I'm actually a little bit shocked he didn't win, just because he's the candidate with the most weight, it seemed. You know, as Speaker of the Senate, he reaches the entire Senate, not to mention the student body when he's, you know, in practically every USG Daily Campus article that we run. I'm surprised that he didn't win, but at the same time, I feel like he's built himself a reputation that some students might not actually be okay with, and thought that maybe perhaps David Rifkin would have been a better candidate.
Let's go a little bit into the history, because it's, you know, here at the exciting world of, you know, UConn politics, there is a history between Kevin Alvarez and David Rifkin. Would anyone like to speak a little bit about that?
Yeah. Last year, David ran for vice president of USG with Carlisle Bethel on the presidential ticket. And Kevin Alvarez was instrumental in getting them disqualified, bringing a suit to the USG court, and basically he was the reason why they were disqualified. And Rifkin got his revenge, it looks like, this time around, which I'm so glad I got to say that. But yeah, so Alvarez and Rifkin kind of had a rivalry last year because Alvarez was on one side of the table. This was at the actual hearing, and Rifkin and Bethel were on the other, and Alvarez was the sole, like, complainant. And he was saying, like, what his allegations were, and Rifkin was defending himself on the other side.
Charlie.
Kevin Alvarez actually had some past issues with more than one of the candidates in this Board of Trustees election. He, we discussed last week how during the debate for Board of Trustees, Kevin Alvarez brought up that Brandon Lux Karanayagam, another one of the candidates, had been removed from the Undergraduate Senate for not showing up to meetings. And it was actually Kevin who was part of getting Brandon removed from the Senate. So he had a history of sort of contention with multiple of the candidates. And I think that, you know, while Kevin did seem like to many people to be the stronger candidate, he did have that history of contention with some other senators. And I think that could have been, you know, just that some of the stories about Kevin, about, you know, him stepping down from the position and getting very heated at meetings, I think could have contributed to this loss. And I think that, you know, though he seemed to have the support of much of the Senate, I think his reputation around campus might have contributed.
And as far as we know, this is as much as we know, but we do know something for certain, and that's that Rachel Conboy won the presidential seat. It was uncontested, but the position still wields a lot of power. Does anyone want to elaborate on the election and the fact that she was running uncontested?
Well, I think it's interesting that she went unopposed because technically it's not a difference from the past years. Like, we've had a bunch of unopposed presidents, or technically presidents who won because their opponent was disqualified. But I also think that it shows student government solidarity behind Conboy and Kruger. Alvarez said in a statement earlier this month that he thinks that nobody ran against them because they were just too popular. He didn't think that anybody could beat them.
I do think there is a difference between running unopposed and being disqualified from, and, you know, winning not by election, but just on a technicality. Just because I think that, you know, even though the last president did win on a technicality and didn't win because of the vote, they did have that campaign of having to run against someone and having to, you know, actually engage in a active debate over topics on campus. And I think that's the main problem with a candidate running unopposed, is that you don't get that debate and that rhetoric that can lead to, you know, more progression.
I have to agree with Charlie on that. That's the biggest issue I have with uncontested candidates, is that all of a sudden the entire debate and the discussion about what our campus looks like and the state of our campus is totally gone. Rachel running unopposed is less of an issue because I think she is probably one of the few people who is actually qualified to be the USG president. She's made such, you know, drastic efforts over her course, the course of her year this year, to reach out to the cultural centers. She's, you know, manages the student rec facility. She's been instrumental in the planning for the new rec facility. So I have full faith that she's going to do a great job. I just wish that there had been somebody to engage with her on sort of what actually matters to students right now.
Great. And also, I mean, the thing is about the disqualifications too, is a lot of the times I think it was frustrating for the candidates who would have won otherwise. In the case of Mark Sargent, we interviewed him after he had won, and I think I got the impression that it was the disqualification had almost muddied his success, because he would have won had it just been had Carlisle Bethel not been disqualified. So what do we think of USG politics and the people who are the sticklers for the rules?
Well, I mean, they've taken steps this year to make it easier to run for a USG seat, and that especially for president, you don't need to, they relax certain restrictions, like you can campaign in certain areas that you used to not be able to campaign in, basically rules that they thought hindered the election and would lead to things that have happened last year, the year before that with court cases. So it's easier to run for a USG presidential seat, but there was still no opposition this year.
If I remember correctly, earlier this year, they had actually put in plans to create a new committee or a subsection of the USG that would deal with these election issues, instead of them just going to the judiciary and being decided there, and candidates being disqualified as often as they had been in the past. They had planned to make sort of a new board that would look at these issues and sort of analyze whether the rule breaking was significant enough to merit someone being disqualified instead of just going straight to the judiciary and going from the Constitution.
Well, that's all we have time for today, but stay tuned to WHUS.org for future episodes. And you can follow these stories and more on Twitter at WHUS Radio, the_DailyCampus, and UCTV Channel 14. Thanks to Daily Campus reporter Sten Spinella, managing editor Katie McWilliams, UCTV reporter Macy Carica, and WHUS reporter Charlie Smart. This edition of UConn Media Roundtable was produced by Ryan Karen King, and I'm your host, Sylvia Cunningham.